Today, Pim Alley and Kate Holland come to us as CEO and co-founders of Sweet Escape in Lake Forest, where they can create opportunities for women to grow, to learn, and to expand their careers and lives. Really excited to share their story. Kate and Pim, thank you so much for being here and being on the Lady Boss podcast. We feel so lucky to hear more about Sweet Escape today.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
We're excited to be here today. Thank you, Courtney.
Well, terrific. Thanks for making time. So my story with Lake Forest is, you may remember I told you I'm a Lake Forest College grad. And when I heard the name of your company, Sweet Escape, I originally and immediately went to my first job in college, which was Sweets, spelled differently than Sweet, S-U-I-T-E. So I resonate everything with Sweet relative to that fabulous chocolate store in Lake Forest, but you are Sweet Escape. So I just give our listeners a little nod into how during the pandemic you went, when everybody was deciding, are they closing up shop, you went and started a business.
That's right. To give you a little bit of background about Pim and I, we've known each other for several years and got involved in a collaboration for a fundraiser for our children's school and really had a great time working together. Our youngest at that point were in first grade, and so we were considering transitioning to getting more involved. And once that ended, we said, what can we do next? And so, truth be told, we had one or two other ideas for businesses that did not quite pan out. but we ended up at Sweet Escape. And basically, during the pandemic, 2020, we were at home, our kids were Zooming, we both have two dogs, our husbands were at home, and everybody needed everything all the time, and we needed a place to go.
So we started Sweet Escape. We went over to the Gorton Community Center and found this amazing space that was an old art gallery and thought, this is going to be it. This is where we're going to go to escape. And so we started off just the two of us working there, and then more women would come and work Zoom. And then as the pandemic evolved, and obviously we're kind of having it behind us, we now have used Sweet Escape as a place for women to gather and inspire and network. And it's really evolved into this wonderful group of women that that we've come to appreciate.
So was your business model always women focused? And even from 2020, when we all thought we couldn't be that choosy about customers, did you make the company about women and for women?
You know, it was interesting because when Pim and I started with the concept of Sweet Escape, and it originally really just started as a sort of like a luxury co-working space, we said, can we really do this? Can we really say no boys allowed? And, you know, of course, this is the age now where, you know, there are sensitivities related to these issues. And we said, absolutely, yes, men have their own golf clubs that they can hang out at. You know, this is a time where women need to be together and to feel comfortable. And that is what was a driving force behind Sweet Escape.
Okay, so I love that, you know, I keep hearing you talk about creating opportunities. And one of the ways, as I've gotten older, you know, and I've always measured success, you know, kind of title, monetarily, number of workers, all the very financial metrics, I started thinking that it was really about providing and getting opportunities every month. That was really the metric that I was most interested in. Mm-hmm. Because I always feel like if I get to meet you, then I may meet some other people. And, you know, my life is really about meeting and engaging with other people. So how did you come to, you know, that's your, you know, KPI is creating opportunities. So how do you measure that at the company to know, are we doing the work we planned on doing?
So, I mean, I think the idea that we've created this lunch series where women come in and connect with various topics, and the fact that now we first start off just having one or two, and now we have the entire fall scheduled because one person has introduced us to the next and introduced us to the next. So we have this beautiful kind of circle of people giving and giving back and giving. So everyone, it's just this constant circle. And the idea of the success for us, I think, is having this network of women that come to our events sell out, then they suggest other women, those sell out. So it's just this constant feed of connecting women with different ideas and different topics of interest.
And
figuring out.
Something that always was like a common thread for Pim and I, because we both stepped away from careers to stay home with our children. And that was by choice. But as your children grow and as you evolve, you realize you want more. And so I never like to say, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or someone to say, I'm a working mom. This idea that we're all so many different things and constantly evolving, truth be told. You could be one thing one year and the next year decide to do something else. And so the idea of bringing all these smart, interesting women together who are very highly educated, who were at the top of their game or are at the top of the game in careers, and who may be moving on to the next thing, this is a place for them to sort of connect and get inspired and hear each other's stories.
So unlike, you know, some of the other professional development, maybe clubs that we could all think of, Sweet Escape doesn't, you know, accept limit by gender, does not say you've got to be a CEO or a director or own this or that. So what kind of qualifications are there or are there not for people to come to the lunch series and be a member at Sweet Escape?
There are no qualifications. Obviously, members get preferred access to events. In the event that something is sold out, members would get priority. But other than that, we're really looking for women who believe in the power of growth, personally and professionally. And you get that through enrichment and networking with other women.
I love that. Believe in the power of growth. That is, that's a really great line that I think... You have to be a little bit more mature to understand, but it is so important. So,
and I think that the idea of community and how important that is for people, the idea of feeling a belonging to be a part of something. You know, I think as women, we have various hats that we wear, and we're involved with nonprofits, we're involved with our kids' schools, we work. And so to have a space that people can come and they don't really have to put on any hat, they're just women looking to learn and connect. That's kind of what we're trying to create, because everybody will be at a different stage in their life, but everybody still wants to grow and learn and expand their network. You know, the idea that we all have great friends and we all have our, you know, circles of good girlfriends that do have book clubs and things. Well, Sweet Escape brings in all those different women and connects them so that it's, you're just connecting on a different level. So you're not becoming best friends with people, but you're learning from people. And that exposure, I think, is so important because it makes your world bigger and better. And
The like-mindedness is really what is the common thread, the learning.
Right.
And you mentioned before about a metric for success. When do we see that we've felt successful about something we've done at Sweet Escape? For us, it's the success stories that grow out of the relationships that our members are building. We've had women decide to go into business together. We've had women feature other women at their own corporate events or private events. And so when we see the synergies that result from what we've initially created by just providing an opportunity, for us, that's a pat on the back. It makes us happy.
It reminds me a lot of the Lady Boss group I started. I bring these women together, and then I'd go out to dinner and I'd see two people and they'd start introducing me to the other person. And I'd say, remember, I introduced you to
you. Yeah.
And it's just so fulfilling to realize that you're bringing people together that see value and can have a relationship going forward, because I think that's what it's all about. But get back to the business part. So, Kate, you're a lawyer, and I thought it was really genius what you talked about doing. So maybe just talk about how you took the company to a 501c and the logic behind that.
We did. You know, when Pim and I started the business, you know, again, I mentioned this co-working model. It really was kind of a physical space, because that's what we needed during the COVID. We needed physical space when we were all locked up. I needed more space. But, you know, as the restrictions loosened and we could go out more, we realized it really wasn't about the physical space or the co-working space that we were creating. It was rather the mission of creating networking and growth opportunities for women. And so for us, that seemed like a natural transition to a 501c3, where we could allow ourselves a little bit more flexibility on the metric side to really grow this idea that we were passionate about and see where it goes.
So what are, you know, when you have some regulation when you work under a 501c, was that something you had to learn about, or did you just have an experience in your past being on, you know, a giving committee or something like that to teach you all you needed to know to run a company like that? Because I wouldn't know what all the regulations are. I know there are quite a few. Yeah. How are you getting up to speed on that?
So, I mean, my background is in intellectual property, patent, and trademark law specifically. And so this was not, while I, you know, obviously can look up the codes of the state of Illinois, I did rely on a friend who is an Illinois corporate attorney who has a little more expertise with that. But I do feel like that's one of the things that you sort of learn when you're in law school is, I can figure this out. I can figure out how to move forward. And as long as you're cognizant of what's important along the way, you try to move forward on a strategic path.
Okay, so under the business model now, you've got your working space and you've got your lunch series. What are some, you know, how do you go about sourcing the speakers for the lunch series, and how are you looking about sort of measuring the improvement year over year?
Mm-hmm. I think, well, there's two really important factors before we get to sort of finding the speakers in terms of like the type of speaker we're looking for. We're really looking for, number one, quality. We want to really create an authentic experience for everyone who attends, because time is precious. We all are feeling that there's not enough hours in the day. So if we're going to ask you to attend a lunch for an hour and a half, we want to make sure that we're really bringing you something special. And so we really try to look for women who are at the top of what they're doing or have this beautiful character and ability to tell a story. And then we also want diversification. We don't necessarily want to hear from, you know, a businesswoman or a CEO every month. We've brought in authors, we've brought in artists. We have a woman coming to talk about college admissions and what's going on with that. And then, you know, that has allowed us to sort of diversify who we bring in the door, because different topics appeal to different people.
Oh, that's awesome. Anything else to add?
No, I think that's exactly right, because we have subset. Like, we have, you know, a younger mom's group and then an older mom's group. See, can we just cut that out? just the variety of women and different demographics of women that are going to be attracted to Sweet Escape for different reasons.
Well, one of the topics we found that everyone pretty much loves across the board, and Courtney, one of the reasons that's why we're excited to welcome you on the 28th of October, is hearing from successful women their personal stories. And so to hear someone else share their story of how they got where they are and what they had to balance, perhaps sacrifice along the way, when they had to trust their gut, when they had to take a risk, this is what our members really love, because it's so inspirational. So that's one thing we're looking forward to later this month.
Well, you're about two interviews late. We cried this morning talking about the journey, because I think by the time you get to speak or you put your LinkedIn on, everybody thinks that, you know, you've done all these checks and things are exactly, you know, the way you are and you've designed in your company. And the reality is, we went back today to talk about the kind of stage that you're in. And for me, it's easy to kind of put that aside and remember and forget about it, because it's painful. Mm-hmm. It's imposter syndrome. It's, you know, not being able to financially make the company work the way you want it to, not knowing the finances the way you want them to, not getting customers to react as quickly as you want. I mean, I could easily dwell on all the things that weren't the way I wanted, but, I also come to realize, and I think it is important to give back, and that's really what the Lady Boss Podcast is hoping to do, is to, A, shortcut the lessons for other entrepreneurs. You know, we all make lots of mistakes. If you can make a few less mistakes, that takes a little less time, mm-hmm. a little less money. Those are good things. I think the other thing is just to bring some human element to it. It is by no means for the faint at heart. It is really, you know, this is all in retrospect. Had they told me this, I may not have done it. You know, I come from entrepreneurs, but it's a really hard journey. And that's not to discourage anyone. That's just to shed a little light of reality on it. So I think that what you're doing is so great, because people need to know they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And whatever stage the ladies are that hear the talks, they may resonate with one or two pieces. But, you know, we all go through feeling inadequate and not getting recognized for all the things, because it's not all magazine articles and, you know, accolades on Instagram. I mean, that's just such a small part of the 16, 17, 18 hour days that we all do. I think the fulfillment comes when you can help other people and you see that all those, you know, days, years, months that you put together become the vision that you started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as you look forward, you know, in a couple of years for Sweet Escape, what does that vision look like?
So just going back to one thing, the idea that we have pivoted so many times and just looked to see what the customer is looking for or what they need. I think that is the part that's kind of lonely, because you think, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing and this is going to sell so well, or this is, and it doesn't. And then you think, okay, well, what happened? How can we fix it? How can we learn from it? And I think the idea of having women together to say, okay, I went through the same thing and it was really scary and I felt really alone, but I got through it, and it, now I'm on the other side of it. And so you know, the, all these different hacks and things, like we had Alyssa Rapp come, and she's written a book and she's a professor at Stanford. And, you know, she had all these little things that she suggested that are basic hacks, but they really help a variety of different women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have to get so good at reframing. I don't think that people understand a lot of times that, first of all, your customer, you just said the word, your customer leads you to what's going to be successful if you listen. We have literally heard that, you know, 8 out of 8 interviews, the last 8, or people are like, you know, why are you doing such and such? My customer told me to. Why are you doing this and such? Now, if we don't listen, if we get too vested in our model, like our model is X, but what if X doesn't work? And I think that sometimes our ego can think, well, we know best, but I just try to listen, not to overplan things, because I have found our most successful business, our recent ad of nationwide installation and white glove delivery, it wasn't that I masterminded that. It was, I just heard that that was a gap and we had the ability to figure out how to fill it. So I think it's so great to know that a lot of the tools that we all need are right in front of us.
It's refreshing. It's refreshing to know that it's not that complicated.
Right. You don't have to go to Harvard. You don't have to get another MBA. You don't have to read 12 more books. I mean, all those are good things. It's just sometimes like the message is in front of you. So you got to be really good at being a pivoter. So let's just say, you know, Sweet Escape gets bigger. You get more lunches and more opportunities you're creating. Do you spread to another geography or do you spread to bigger spaces? What's the path you're thinking about?
I think, you know, we have explored going to different spaces. We've been using Town & Oak, which has a beautiful private event space in Winnetka. Elena Vasquez, who's the founder of Town & Oak, was one of our first featured speakers, and she shared her story about transitioning from a professional chef to now owning the cafe and the event space. And so that all that does have appeal, but I also think the small group gatherings where you allow every single person who comes to interact with one another has tremendous value. I mean, I think our idea is of expanding Sweet Escape is something that we get very excited about. I could put a franchise, you know, all over, but you know, we're committed to delivering quality content and to allow a framework for people to build really authentic relationships, and so. The challenge is in how do you do that on a larger scale? And so I can't say I have an answer to that right now, but we certainly are eager to try to figure out how to do it. And our goal is to do it one step at a time.
Well, and I think, you know, right now we have children that are of ages that we're still needing to be really present. So the idea that we can't, you know, rush out and have an event every single week, because there's so many different things going on in our lives. Sure. And, you know, once our lives evolve, I think we will be able to do a lot more. But for right now, this really works. Like, we shut down all summer. I mean, that was amazing. So, you know, we went on a couple trips with our families and did some things. And so to be able to turn an on and off is a really great thing as a woman business owner, because, you know, our priorities are our families and our friends. And, you know, this is something that we really enjoy. But
the thing I love about working with Pim, though, is even though she said we turned it off during the summer, I still got 22 texts a day from her saying, we should do this, we should do that. And that's why, it's part of why I enjoy working with you, Pim. And I think we're constantly inspiring each other. And so I think in the long term, we will get to a great spot.
It sounded like a good story, but I didn't believe it.
We did.
That's too much energy in her. No, and I think, you know, and I think for people listening, that is the beauty of entrepreneurship, is that there are different times in your life where, you know, one thing is getting more attention than the other, maybe work, maybe family. You know, the idea you can have your cake and eat it too is my big belief. It's also really hard to juggle. So it's okay to not be A-gaming it on one thing, mm-hmm. you know, on all things at all times. I mean, and that's the part we have
and
to
I
let up.
And I think, to your point about maturity before, I think that's what it takes a while to figure out. Yeah. Because in the beginning, you're saying 100% on everything yeah. all the time. And it's just not realistic. And I yeah. think as you grow and as you mature, I've at least found that it's easier to figure out where to give and take and when to give and take. And it's hard because as driven people who really want to be successful at everything they do, the idea of maybe not going full steam on something can be just as scary as, you know, taking a big leap of faith into a new opportunity. But you have to figure it out what's best for you and what's going to make you healthy. And it's a marathon, not a race. So
talk about your partners, because when I jumped off my big job with the big fancy paycheck, at first, I don't think Larry was so excited about it. And you both had similar experiences to do this passion project, which ultimately may or may not have a financial reward in the way you traditionally think. So how supportive are your guys, and what do you hear at home about
this? You know, I think it's kind of funny. My husband's very supportive and obviously wants to encourage me to do anything I want. Having three boys and hearing their perspective is also very funny, because they see Sweet Escape and having this business as important for their mom. And so that has been so rewarding for me, because they know that, you know, every morning I have to get up and I have to go to work, or maybe sometimes I don't go to work, but then I need to get out of the house. But, you know, they are like, so, you know, when are you going to make your first million, or when are you going to do this? And I'm like, well, we're just, you know, we're just starting off, that, you know, it's going to get somewhere. But, you know, their appreciation for like a real job is seeing their dad go to work every day, which is, you know, go downtown and put on a suit and that kind of a thing. But as an entrepreneur and as a woman, you do a lot of different things, a lot of different.
Yeah.
So
it's always work. It's
there's
just
always
work, kinds of work.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, the idea that growing up, my parents always said to me, you know, be your own boss, because you can determine your own hours. You can determine like what you want to do. My mom ended up starting a program to educate children in the summer. I grew up in Arizona. And so she started that. And so she had this extra money that was always hers, that she would always say, well, I'm doing this with this money. This is not coming from. So be able, as a woman, to have, you know, her own financial independence, I think is so great.
Yeah.
And so that's something, give a shout out to my mom. yeah, I think being an entrepreneur is scary, but it also is not limited to anything, because you don't have to put yourself in a box and say, yeah. this is what I'm going to do. I have to wake up and I have to be at the office at 8 and I have to leave at 5 and, you know, that kind of a thing. And also with the people coming to Sweet Escape, that also is very rewarding to think like, okay, you know, I can come and learn from other women on my time, not when it's authentic or not when it's somebody else's time.
So I have always learned that partnerships are you know, really good when they're good, and they're also challenging because business, you know, has its ups and downs. What are things that you don't agree on, and how do you sort those out?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that Fim and I actually don't agree on, and that is kind of what makes all of this work. I still remember the first time we ever disagreed about something, and I was like, ooh, this is bad. Like, this is going to be a problem, but we got through it. And now I really think the fact that disagreeing on something doesn't make us uncomfortable. And instead, it forces us to ask another question. Why right. do you think that?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I also think that I like someone that's really blunt, and I have a lot of really crazy ideas. I'm like, well, should we do this? Should we do this? And Kate's like, no, that's stupid. So, I mean, I think I can go off in so many different directions, and Kate is an implementer. So like, she has taken so much of what we've done. Like, I'm like, let's do this. She's like, okay, wait a minute. How are we going to do that? And then we've worked through it. So I think that's also the good that's come through, is that implementation is what really has to take place in a business. Like, you can have all these amazing ideas, but the implementation is so important. And Kate can bring things back to reality of like, how are we really going to do that?
And I think we also have a lot of core common values, both as spouses, as women, as moms. And so because of that, you know, we have tremendous respect for different thoughts that we have throughout the process. And so, you know, I've always said to Pim, you know, this, if this isn't working, we have to talk about this and we have to figure it out, because we do have such tremendous respect for each other. And that is what I think keeps us together.
And then I also think the fact that, you know, we do have kids that are the same ages. You know, I left and lived in New Jersey last year for, you know, 4 months, and Kate ran the whole show. And that was such a nice feeling, knowing that I could go do, be with my, I don't know what I'm going to say, but just the idea that I could leave, you know, I think because we have the kids that are the same age, we can lean on one another and not feel so guilty about it. Because being in a partnership, I think you do feel guilt at certain times, but knowing that, like, something's come up and I will just call Kate and say, I'm out, I can't do it this week, then she's totally understandable. And same, like, when she calls me and she has something comes up with her kids or her family or her parents, or, you know, there's, life is complicated and it's messy. And that is what has been so nice, is that I trust Kate.
Well, I think that, you know, getting the company bigger is also a key. So, you know, I work with my husband, and I think the real benefit is communication, which you talked a lot about. You know, you got to talk over things you don't agree about way more than you talk about things you agree about. But also having your own roles. So, you know, Kate's the implementer, maybe you're the creator. And we definitely sort of had division, because by nature, you can always have a little healthy competition when you're in a partnership. And I found that the ones that I've watched stick, and certainly my own, is like, we have very different and non-competing skill sets. And
exactly.
1 + 1 = 3, rather than, you know, you do this well and I do this well, and now we kind of see who does it better at work.
I love that. 1 + 1 = 3. Yeah. It's very true with us.
For sure.
Key to a good partnership.
Yes.
This is the part of the Lady Boss podcast where we talk to our guests and see if they can answer some rapid fire questions, which maybe gets us to learn a little bit more about them. Kate, what's the best book you're reading right now about business?
So it was a book I read, I think, yesterday or the day before, and it's something that has come across my desk from time to time, but I've never really looked at it. It's a very short book by a man named Simon Sinek, and it's called Together is Better, I think. But I think there are some really pieces of wisdom in, some really great pieces of wisdom in there about leadership and about why working with others and working for others instead of working by yourself is the way to go. And it's a lot of what inspires us at Sweet Escape.
Simon Sinek, oh, he's one of my magical all-time favorite authors. So yes, good book.
Yes.
Okay, Pam, what would you consider your superpower?
My superpower is being direct and honest and having a little bit of fun. I didn't grow up here and I have no really connectivity. I have a little more confidence in and boldness in reaching out to people that I don't know, because I really don't have anything to lose, you know? And I think
that's awesome.
The idea that people would be intimidated to talk to Alyssa Rapp, and I'm like, she is a fucking badass, but so am I, my own right. And I can have something that add to the table. So I think, you know, I want to, so.
Cold calling is your superpower.
So cold calling is my superpower.
It is. I concur.
I love that. Okay. Kate, if you could remind people of your favorite slogan that your best mentor gave you.
That is a tough one, because I feel like I've had so many different mentors throughout the different opportunities I've had. But I think it's probably work smart, not hard. I mean, even when I was back at a law firm billing hours, I always felt like the ability to be efficient and to really buckle down and get things done is where a lot of value is, as opposed to you know, being the first person to arrive in the morning and the last person out the door. It's the quality of the work that you're producing, not the quantity of time that you're spending on it. And it's, you know, I think we all see people who, you know, look busy and are busy, but, you know, visual sweat is not always indicative of how hard someone is working. So work smart is my motto.
You don't hear very many lawyers talk like that.
Well, I did. I am a recovered attorney.
I love that. It also just gets shit done. I feel like that at the bottom line, you get it done. So working efficiently is a big part of it. I think when you're a mom, you have to do things so much more.
Kate, if you could have any speaker speak to Sweet Escape, who would it be?
Who would it be?
Or Pam, either can answer.
Well, I mean, I have to say Tori Burch is amazing. And she's started such a great Empowering Women series. I feel like she could come and give us so much perspective. So, and we've gone on to a couple of her podcasts and listened to them. That would be my dream.
I also think from a human interest standpoint and what's going on in the world right now, I would like to hear from Princess Kate. Because she is, you know, the
role. I'm going to challenge you both. Get this done.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. Come on. Let's put it on the goal list and be accountability partners. Tori Burch and Kate, I'm coming to both events.
We'll save a seat for you, Courtney.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for being on the Lady Boss Podcast.